This podcast is brought to you by Learn Prime. Start your journey to becoming a great developer at learn.thoughtbot.com.
Giant robots smashing into other giant robots.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots podcast. It is Thursday, August 29th. My name is Ben Orenstein. I'm here today with Chris Savage and Brendan Schwartz. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Great.
Fantastic. So, Chris, how do you spend your days as CEO of Wistia?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a hard-hitting question up front.
That's a big question.
Only if you spend your days poorly, right?
Yeah. So I don't have a good answer for you. I would say, I mean, I think everyone's job at Wistia changes a lot as we've grown. My job changes a lot. I spend my days like trying to figure out like, you know, what's the stuff that we're doing that we should do more of and what's the stuff that we're doing that we should do less of. And we just try to like... we're pretty flat at Wistia, and so everyone has a lot of ownership and can kind of go after whatever they want to go after. And so what that means is there's a lot of responsibility for all of us to figure out, like, is this person working on the right stuff? Like, should we do more of this? Should we do less of this? So I spend my days, like, trying to encourage the right stuff, stop the stuff that
I like how
should be happening.
I like how simple that is.
Yeah, I'd guess that's it. I mean, it's I have trouble answering this question because I feel like I do so many different things.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably like the unifying stuff.
Yeah. So Brendan, how about you on the CTO side?
It's a similar answer, I'd say, and that it's changed a lot. Back when we first started, there were two of us. I was writing all the code. That's a pretty clear division. That is happening kind of less and less. It's just I don't know. I mean, that's the most exciting thing for me, too, is just doing different things every day, and there's different problems to solve. I mean, that's, I think, why a lot of people like small companies. There is just a plethora of things. Like, there'll be many days where, like, I mean, there are days where I don't open my laptop. Like, most of the, like, you're just talking with people and trying to help them, like, do what they need to do or, like, unblock, you know, certain things.
Yeah, it's interesting. As I've moved into more of a role where I'm helping work on a different side of the business at a slightly higher level, it's like I write less and less code. That's like, it's the more you get focused on how do we make things happen at a high level, the less I can just dive down and spend 4 days writing features and more. It's like, we need to email these people, we need to mentor these students, we need to talk to these instructors, and it's a lot more coordination at a higher level.
Yeah. It's hard though, I think, because I mean, anybody who, like, if you write code, you're making things. Like, you can see the product of your work.
Yeah.
And the shift to go from like suddenly like every feature that came out like I'd have my hands in, and now like I might like look at a week and I'm like, what did I didn't like produce anything, like I just helped a lot of people get stuff done, which is a really good feeling, but that was like hard for me to do, like personally.
Yeah, I think that transition is just tough. It's just going from making stuff, I mean, forever it was just like making things like, oh, I have an idea for a blog post, I write the title, it goes out there, people love it, blah blah blah, blah. Like, feel pretty great about yourself, and then like that stuff stops happening, and it's that weird transition when other people are doing all the making, and now it's, I don't know, I think it's like, at least we take a ton of pride in just all the other stuff that can happen without us. I think that's like the best stuff. Now is, it's at least for me, it's completely switched. Like, it's sad, like I don't get to make as much stuff, but then I look around the people who are making things, I'm like, damn, they're doing a better job than I could have done.
Yeah.
And so it's just like an enormous amount of pride, like, in the team and in the individuals that are, you know, doing what we used to do and doing it better.
Yeah. Was it tough to let that go at first, though?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just tough because I think the feedback loop is so different. I don't know. Once you get used to it and you start to see other people shining, it's like, feels pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I remember we were at Business of Software, like, a number of years ago, and we went to like look at, we were like showing someone the website, we like met someone, we're like, oh, like look at something on the website, and the website had completely changed, and like we knew that project was underway, but we had no idea that it was launching that day, and we're like, oh my, like this is like the first like big moment where like we're not at all, we had like nothing to do with it really.
That's so cool.
And it was amazing. I mean, it was gorgeous and amazing.
Yeah absolutely. So we should probably step back, I always forget to do this, we should step back and talk about what Wistia does. And I think you guys have one of the simplest, most direct taglines that I've seen, which is video hosting for business, which I thought it was like, okay, I get what that is. It's four words and I understand it. And one of them is four.
Yeah.
And that was just great. And because I remember I first started talking with you guys like 3 years ago almost.
Yeah.
You were a lot smaller. You had just moved into an office. You're local. We're actually in the ThoughtBot studio today.
Yeah.
And you just moved into an office in Davis Square, and you were like, I think you had like one other guy writing code along with you.
Yeah, there were five of us then.
Yeah,
I
so
think.
Five total. Today it's like 20?
Yep, 22 people.
22. And I think you had just, you were just kind of like settling in on like what the mission was and like how strongly you believed it.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, things have evolved. I mean, so we started 7 years ago, and the one thing that stayed consistent is that we saw this major shift happening with online video, and we're like, okay, there's going to be a lot of opportunity that comes here. We think we can try to help like different people, and those different people changed over time. It was like, let's help filmmakers, then let's try to help businesses like privately share video, then let's try to help businesses also put video on their website, which is kind of like video hosting for business. And it's evolved even more to just really trying to help people market with video well on their site. And you know, it's been an evolution, and it's also been, the cool thing is like, as we've gotten bigger, it's been easier to be more specific about what, who our customer is, like how we're serving them, like what the price of the product should be and what the product should be. 3 years ago, we were definitely still like struggling to figure out, like, should we be helping people do marketing, training, sales, or collaboration? I don't know. If someone else comes and asks for something else, we'll do that too, because we need the money.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, if we focus in on like people who are trying to market with video on their website, that's a really specific problem. And there's a lot of specific tools we can make. It makes it easier to make those tools. It makes it easier to invest more deeply in those tools. And I think they're better because of that.
Yeah. I think we had this funny, like, emotional thing behind like what we would call ourselves also. I think when we were making this product, it's like we care so much about it, and it's like so special to us that calling it something so specific as video hosting for business is like completely underselling its value.
Yeah.
And that was terrifying to us.
Yeah.
Of course, it makes perfect sense that you would say something really simple and then people could figure out the rest of what it does. That eluded us for the better part of a decade.
Yeah. it's kind of amazing to hear that you guys have been around for 7 years now. It's interesting to watch you guys grow and get more popular, and I see references to you all over the place now, and like other, like these huge companies using you guys, and it's like, oh man, they just like exploded onto the scene.
Yeah.
In tiny steps over 7 years.
Yeah, no, really tiny. I mean, you know, they talk about the trough of sorrow or the pit of despair or whatever you want to call it that you have to work your way through, and like, it's a big, it turns out that pit can be like 5 years long, which is, it's a long way to get through, but it's been just tons of small steps.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the biggest shift that I saw from you guys was when you started making your own videos. Like, it seemed like you were trying a lot of different marketing techniques, a lot of different ways of getting people's attention. And like, it suddenly, at least for me, shifted when like you started making these like adorable / hilarious videos yourself.
Yeah.
Was that a big change for you guys too?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that was a huge change for us. It happened by accident, honestly. Like, we had made videos before that were screencasts. Mm-hmm. And we're like, all right, you know, we'll sell this product to people who understand the problem. We don't have this problem, so we'll make screencasts that are not that great, but like the kind of like, they're still walking, they're kind of a demo of the product, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy, Chris Levine, who is now on our team and full time, like, he's a friend of another guy on the team, and he came in, he's like, I'm just going to shoot a video. And we're like, okay. And he shot a video with no script of us in the office, like goofing around, and like put our names like in 3D text above our heads, which was super cool. And we just put it on the site, like not even on the front page. It was just like on our team page.
Mm-hmm.
And tons of people shared it, and it sent a ton of traffic back to us. And that traffic that came in on this video that had nothing to do with the product or service, like, actually people signed up. And it was like, holy shit, like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is, I think whether we wouldn't admit it back then when we weren't making these videos, but we were just terrified, I think, of being on camera.
Yeah.
And, you know, you write a blog post or even, I mean, it's hard to launch a website because in some ways it's a representation of you. And if it fails, that's a horrible thing and you're a horrible person. And being on camera and having people like see your face and you're talking about your business or what it is that you do. I mean, there's a lot, like, you're really putting yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a really good entree because we didn't have to do any talking or anything, and it got us comfortable with it. And then the other big thing, like, as someone who, like, I was like incredibly nervous about it, having Chris Levine in the office and like knowing he was like skilled and he was like a friendly force, like, he was the safety net for like, all right, I'm not going to look stupid. Like, I will be stupid on camera, but he will magically edit this so
just
that
like this podcast
exactly.
That's why we're just getting we're about to say a lot of crazy shit.
You wouldn't believe how dumb these guys sounded. Yeah, it's in
it's
person.
It's insane.
Absolutely. I remember talking to you guys years ago, and you told me like we're looking for the marketing channel that works. What happens is we keep trying something. We'll do buy some advertising, and for a little while, like the conversion will be amazing. We're like, oh my god, we found our scalable channel, and this is going to be it. And we're going to be billionaires. And then like a week later, like, oh, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And it seems like you've sort of stumbled on this like content marketing sort of thing, yep. And it seems to be working, you know, better than anything else.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's like, you know, we made that video, put it out there, it worked, and it wasn't even related to what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And we started down the path of like, okay, probably there's something to this video thing, which we knew, but like we just had never had like the quality or like the commitment or the confidence to try all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it just evolved to the point where now like it is the main driver of our business. And it's the main driver of our business, and it's helped us figure out how to build the product. I mean, I think that's the other thing that's incredible is like, oh, well, we really want to be able to let people who sign up for a recorded webinar like put in their email address to gain access to it. So we built it ourselves and we try something out and it works amazing. And we're like, okay, let's put that in the product. And we put it in the product and people love it. And it's like, that wasn't that hard. Okay, like now we should do like something with calls to action. Now we should integrate with like other email service providers. All those things we did because we wanted it for ourselves.
Mm.
And we just iterated and got better. And now, I mean, we just try to look at what we're doing day to day and say like, what's the stuff that we're doing? And if someone walked in here, they'd be like, wow, that's awesome. Like, I just learned something. Then we try to take that and put that in a video or a blog post or whatever it is and get that out there. Because the more that we can teach and educate, the better connection we build with people, the more trust we build. And that's the stuff that, at least for us, like even when we couldn't describe the product well, still brought people back and had them take a second look.
It feels like such a shift, too. It's like you became a user of your own product.
Yeah.
Like, crazy idea.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're making this product for people that want to host video. We don't actually host any of our own videos, but, you know, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we were entranced, too, because, like, some of our first paying customers were really big companies. Mm. And they were privately sharing video, and it was like Nestle and Sonos Networks and Cirque du Soleil and like these giant companies whose problems we could not even come close to understanding. Like, Wistia is my first like salaried job of my life. Like, I was a freelancer before this, and it's not like my time was 100% packed. You know what I mean? Like, I was trying to build a career, and Brendan was working in a small startup. It's not like either of us had any experience at like a big company and like doing compliance training for sales. So, you know, we had just didn't understand the problem we were solving.
So I feel like an amazing example of this is the video you guys did for taking a survey. And like, will you take our customer survey is like the most boring request ever to receive as a customer.
Yeah.
It's like, this benefits you solely. It's going to take me time. Your questions are probably boring and it's going to be long.
Yeah.
And you guys made this like pretty hilarious dancing video that was like the most adorable way I've ever been asked to take a survey before. And the amazing thing that I realized about this is like, this actually makes it like a trade. It's like the whole office got together and did a dance for me and like made themselves look really goofy. And in exchange, yes, I can take a 30-second survey because like you gave me something.
Yeah,
I thought it was just like a perfect approach at doing something that so many businesses do so thoughtlessly.
Yeah, we both hate surveys. And like somebody like, it was maybe 2 days before that I heard that, like, okay, there's, like, we're thinking about doing a survey to all the customers. And I was like, oh, my God, like, this sounds like the worst idea. Like, this is, like, what a great way to, like, burn trust, like, that we work so hard to do. Like, I didn't hear about the video idea, and I just was, like, terrified. I'm like, I was, like, just, you know, I don't know. I agree. Like, surveys are just, like, lazy marketing, like, asking people to, like, do your work for you almost, right? And I think that was definitely like, and the video piece was the piece that made the whole thing work, which was part of like the idea behind it. Like, I think both of us were still a little bit skeptical of it, but it was also just like doing that video was super fun for everybody.
Yeah,
like, we all got together and like learned a new dance.
Yeah, it looked like a fun team bonding experience.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, we both, I mean, it's just like, if you think about the bank of trust, right? Like, we've been building up this trust and like, we try really, really hard not to sell Wistia, like, in our videos. Like, we just try to teach. And the hope is, like, if we do it enough, like, yeah, you can take the stuff we taught you and go use it on YouTube. And lots of people do. And hopefully also, like might give you pause and think, like, well, what are these people doing that taught me this stuff? And so just the terrifying thought of, like, burning it by like taking the survey. But it really was when we were doing the dance, honestly, that like it was so ridiculous and fun to do. Everyone literally was like beaming and having a great time. I was like, that fucking video is going to be awesome. Like, that's just going to be epic. And then it turned out, like, the other thing that video is super funny is, like, it's, like, a minute and 40 seconds long or something. It's, like, way, way, way too long. Mm-hmm. But that's part of the fun. It's, like, how long will they keep doing this?
Yeah. And the thing that struck me was, like, you made something so boring, like, into a remarkable event.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Like, something that someone would actually, like, link to and be like, oh, check out this survey. Like, yes. Check out this survey? Are you kidding me? Like, that was kind of a miracle.
It was cool. And the results were amazing. I mean, that's the other thing is, like, I think a lot of people told us in the survey, like, I would not have taken the survey if you didn't have the video. And now that I'm here, I'm going to tell you some things I wasn't going to tell you otherwise. Mm. And so my fear with surveys sometimes is you just get, like, the people who have the biggest problems or rather the loudest voices and not just the biggest problems. And so I think we heard about a lot of stuff that we wouldn't have heard about otherwise, like, because of that. Mm. I think it's also another, like, we can't just go be like, all right, now we've done this survey. Let's do another one next month with a different dance. Like, it will lose its effect. And so being really, really careful with it is important. But I think just as you brought up at the beginning, it's the trade is probably the most important way to think about it. And just as long as we can give people enough fun, like, during the middle of their workday, that they can actually feel good about giving us that information, which hopefully means we're going to make better content, which will be good for them too.
It's interesting to me how many times you guys have said the word trust in the interview so far. I was reading back on Chris, your blog, where one of your posts is about not hiding who you are.
Yeah.
And in particular about, like, you're talking about your team size.
Yeah.
And you show a screenshot of your team page from back in the day. And it's like, clearly people trying to look big, yes. Right? It's like, oh, the chief executive officer is Chris Savage, and like, here's his three paragraph so bio, and like, we're like a super big, serious company. You can trust us.
This is like a 23-year-old, no experience whatsoever.
Our fonts have serifs on them, and we know what we're doing, and all that. And then contrast it to today, which is like such a, it's like, here we are, here are pictures, here's us doing goofy dances. Like, it's just much more open about what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's been like, it's funny, in hindsight. All our initial customers knew how big we were. We didn't really pay attention to that. We just thought we were really clever and we were tricking them, but like, they knew. And some of them, like, we met at startup events and we were commiserating about how, you know, we can't get any deals and like, what are we going to do? And like, we need to make money. And then this guy's like, well, I'm the director of training at a $2 billion company. Like, it seems like what you're doing is cool. Like, maybe we should be a customer. And we're like, oh my gosh, this is great. Now we'll go like get other $2 billion companies to get us, which is kind of the wrong way to go. And I think it's just like trying to attract the right customers. Like, even today, we have like lots of big customers of all different shapes and sizes, but there's certain companies that are just so big that like we couldn't do them justice. And so we might as well scare them away. Mm. Like, should Showtime rely on us for all of their online video? Like, they can, but like, they're going to want an account rep, they're going to want SLA, they're going to want all these other things that like we don't have. And maybe someday they become a customer. But like, for now, like, we're way happier connected with people who know what they're getting and like realize that like a 22-person team can be trusted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I've said this before, but there's so much power in the truth to me.
Yeah.
It's like when you kind of are like trying to manipulate reality a little bit, you have to remember how you're manipulating it and you have to always maintain that facade and remember the things you said. Whereas when you just tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is who we are. This is what we do. We might not work for you. That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just more fun that way too. Like, we're goofy and like we make mistakes and like it just being able to be ourselves. I mean, this is like, you know, a very obvious thing in hindsight, but it just feels so much better. It's like more fun to work in that environment.
Yeah. And it literally put a face to your company for people when you guys start showing up on video and have your faces on the company page and all that.
Yeah.
But especially the videos. It's like, oh yeah, I see who's working there. I can see that they look human. They look like they're having a good time. It's like, this looks like a cool company.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think the video too was like one of the catalysts that like really like made that happen. Cause you can't, if you try to pretend, like, acting is very hard. You try to pretend to be some big shot thing and it's like me who looks like I'm 14. Like, it won't work. So there's only one way to be, I think, when you're on camera as a, you know, normal human being, not like a fabulous actor.
Yeah. I mean, it's just also the connection of like just knowing people. It's like that relationship that happens because you're yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talk about it all the time with like the, you know, the coffee shops and the sandwich shops that are near our office in Davis Square, and it's like, oh, like, did you see that new person who's working at Diesel Cafe? Like, they seem like they're pretty funny, and this time they remember my name. Like, that's awesome. And someone's like, yeah. And like, oh, that other guy was so mad today. I can't believe it. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, these are the people we converse about, are like the people we interact with. And I think like being on video is just such a different experience than like looking at a photo of somebody, in that like you feel like you get to know them and you watch them a different way. Mm-hmm. It's like when we watch someone on TV and you see them in real life, you're like, you look like how you look on TV. And it's like, well, I'm that person.
Yeah.
And, but I also think we like caricature people on TV and like in movies, where it's like, if you think of Jay Leno, I'm sure the first word that pops into your mind is chin, you know, like, and like, it's because like you dissect someone differently when you're watching a video than you do in a photo, or than you even do with a friend. Mm. And there's people all the time. Like, someone came into the office yesterday and I was in the back of the office with Chris Levine. And then Chris's dog, Lenny, who's, like, on our site and stuff, was, like, also there. And she's like, oh, my gosh, like, two Chris's and a Lenny. Like, I can't believe some of my favorite things in one room. And, like, I've never met this person. Like, I have no idea who they are. But they have, like, a relationship with us and with Lenny, the dog.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a wild thing, which is super powerful. And I think, like, you know, the upside is, like, that, you know, that relationship is stronger. And the downside, if there is one, is, like, you know, if we screw things up, like if Wistia treats people like shit, it's going to be very clear who the people are at Wistia. Like, we are not a nameless, faceless organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that hopefully will help us like stay honest and like do right by people.
So I remember you guys have took some venture capital, at least fairly early on. But I remember even talking to you years ago, you don't have that feel of a venture funded company somehow. You feel kind of like a bootstrap company.
Well, yeah, we took angel investment. And there's no like institutional investors. So it's all like individuals. Mm. So it's basically, you know, everyone always thought we were going to take like a big venture round. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll try to take over control of your company like when that day happens. And that day hasn't happened. So it's, you know, I think it's like a function of having like great individuals who like really have backed us and have trusted us. And, you know, to talk about like the kind of like pit of despair that we walked through, like there was a lot of time when it was like, are we gonna make it, like we came close to running out of money like multiple times. And they saw us do that, and then they saw us come out of it, and now they're basically like, all right, you guys are fine, like we can't really do much anyway, but if we could, like, just like, we'll stay out of your hair. Which has been good. I mean, it lets us like take our time on things that I think we wouldn't be able to take time on otherwise.
Yeah. And even when things were looking like really grim, I mean, it's a testament to the people who invested were just like had our back then. It wasn't like, oh, my God, make this work. Like, yeah, I've got all this money on the line. It was like, how can we help you? Or just, do you want like hands off? Like, just tell us what to do.
I mean, we were terrified of taking money because we didn't want to let people down. We were terrified of letting ourselves down. But I remember talking to one of the investors who had never invested in a startup before. And we're like, okay, you're going to give us $100,000. Like, can you afford to lose this? Because like, we're probably never going to give it back to you. Like, you shouldn't give it to us unless you think you're never going to get it back. Like, that's the only way we'll take it from you. And he's like, yeah, I'm super rich. Okay. Sounds good. And I think that like, we just always tried to set those expectations from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And we were fortunate enough and lucky enough to like find people who like actually wanted to help a company like us do that.
That's awesome. So, Brandon, I saw a talk you gave about some of the technical stuff behind Wistia, which is pretty awesome. It was all about the bakery.
Oh,
and how it grew over time. Yeah. And like, you sort of gave this nice timeline. Like, it started off with this and then kind of exploded. Can you just kind of do a quick summary of the tech behind Wistia?
Sure. I mean, when we first started, we started building a portfolio website for artists. That was like the first thing that we built that we thought was a great idea. Wasn't that great of an idea for us. I mean, it's a great idea, but just not
great. It's a phenomenal idea.
Yeah. Not exactly the greatest business idea, I suppose. Artists, you know, they're usually very wealthy and like we'll pay businesses lots of money.
Oh,
but in this case, it just didn't work for us. So we had, as part of that, it was like very video centric, and we had built out this infrastructure, or really one giant monolithic, you know, shitty service. And we decided, like, when we were transitioning into Wistia, we're like, we never want to handle like a video upload, transcoding, encoding again. We need to like make this its own service, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we split that off. That is what we call internally the bakery, which is a service that handles all the uploads, encodes the videos to all the different formats, stores them, delivers them, all that stuff. And it's taken, it's been, 6 years that thing has been running. And it started off, like in that talk I said, it was like a single virtualized server that could barely do anything. We would run one, it could only run one encode at a time. So there was like this time, like early on, we had some big customers who were uploading lots of videos, or like multiple customers. Mm-hmm. And we would do this thing that we called like queue juggling, where we'd like just like alternate back and forth between each customer's one, so it looked like things were actually happening instead of having to wait like 2 hours for it to encode.
Like a day.
There was some manual labor going on to make it look like there was some technical magic. But then over the years, obviously we've invested time to scale that out. And it's been, I think the best thing we did there was we just did it when we had to, and there wasn't a lot of premature optimization. We felt the pain, and then by the time we were implementing a solution, we were really confident that that was going to take us to the next step. So now there's like 250 machines, encoding tons of videos right now as we speak.
Wow.
And still it's like, I'm sure in years from now, it'll be like, oh my God, can you believe we only had like the capacity to encode 250 things at a time? That was horrifying. So it's been a long journey. It
That's
continues
awesome.
To be.
So those 250 are just for encoding?
Yeah, just for encoding video. So any video you upload, if you upload an HD video, we're going to encode about 5 different versions of that, or maybe 6. So it's a fair amount. And each of those servers will encode one thing at a time for like maximum. We want to get it through the system as fast as possible rather than like kind of parallelizing lots of stuff and having it all go slowly.
Mm-hmm. Any other big components of the architecture besides that?
Yeah, so all the video analytics we do, that is also a separate service. So we do this thing, you can see second by second how people watch the videos, and we make these things called video heat maps. So a section that people watch is green, and if you watch it again, it turns yellow and then orange and red. So you can, it's this nice visual representation of how someone consumes your content. So the player sends information to this set of servers. It kind of goes through this processing pipeline. And then the Wistia front-end application reaches into that to display that information. Mm-hmm. And that's, service-oriented architecture is not a new concept. But having the discipline to have done it that way, it certainly took us a little bit longer in the beginning, has really paid off.
Mm. How big is the engineering team now?
The engineering team is 4 people. It's pretty small. I wouldn't count myself because I can barely do anything anymore.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. It's awesome because everybody is hyper productive. Mm. I mean, there's no, like, we have, probably over 500 servers. There's no ops person or team. So everybody really has to, like, be on top of their stuff, and like everything is very well automated to make that work and also be able to produce new features.
Do you guys have any embarrassing stories?
Willing to share? How much time do we have?
Yeah.
Embarrassing stories that we're willing to share.
I don't even know where to begin. What kind of stories?
Yeah. What do you
like
want?
Personally embarrassing? Kind of like anything.
Professional mishaps, personal blunders. it's all good. We're all podcast friends here.
Podcast friends. What do they want to hear? Go ahead.
Oh, you want me to go ahead?
Yeah. Yeah. Yours.
Things you messed up in the early days. Like, what were the... you look back on and go, oh my God, like, what were you thinking?
So pretty early on, we just, like, it took us almost a year to the day to switch to focusing on Wistia. And we did that because the two of us were living in like this 10-person house in Cambridge. We were running out of money. We needed to make money. Businesses had money. Okay, great. So we switched to Wistia like by finding someone who's like really interested in something, like this company. They pay us. That's great. And it was a private way to share video at first. And when we went into this company, it's called Geodynamics, and we had this meeting with them, and they said, "What's the price?" And we were ready for this, and we had made up a sheet of fake prices, and we're like, the light plan was $100 a month, and the medium plan was $200 a month, and the heavy plan was like $400 a month.
what's the difference between these plans? I don't know. It's just made up stuff, right? Like, it's just completely made up. And they looked at it, and like, the guy looked at the piece of paper, and he's like, okay, yeah, right, yeah. I think we'll take the heavy plan. I'm like, okay, yes. Like, $400. Yes! Like, this is huge. Like, our expenses were like $1,200 a month. So that was like just enormous.
Yeah.
Then, like, this private way to share video, like, my background's in filmmaking. We, like, leveraged a bunch of connections and got ourselves into PBS. And so, like, 2 months after switching to Wistia, we're talking to PBS about helping them share all the unfinished content that they have internally. This is like a dream come true, and this dream has, like, gotten to this place in 2 months. So Brendan and I go in there. We're both, like, 22, 23 at the time. And we're meeting with the heads of production for PBS on Nova. So we go in there, and they're, like, talking. We're showing them the product. Like, it's amazing. We had, like, time-coded commenting.
That was, we've got, like, trophies everywhere, too.
Yeah, there's trophies. There's Emmys, like, lining the walls. And so we get to the point where we're going to ask what the price is. And we have the same exact sheet of paper, like, in, like, a Timbuktu bag that we're going to, like, take out and, like, hand to these guys. And so they're like, what's the price? And, like, I see Brendan, like, kind of, like, going for the paper. And I kind of, like, stop him. And I'm like, all right. It starts at $2,000 a month and then it goes up to like $3,000. And like, so for, I think you guys probably like $2,500, and they kind of just like stared back at us blankly and they're like, yeah, we'll get back to you. And then we didn't get that deal. And it was just like, I mean, in hindsight, it was like one of those perfect examples of just trying to take way, 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 way too much from somebody from a product that's like 2 months old. And those guys actually eventually did become a customer and they pay us like $100 a month or something. So.
Something more reasonable than that. Yeah.
I don't know how that's, I mean, that's.
I like that though. It was worth a shot.
Yeah.
I thought they're going to, you know, laugh at your number and say, we would have paid you $50,000 and then kick you out the door.
Yeah. We've had some of those.
We've had those too. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we did a lot of, actually, here's a good one. So, you know, you couldn't embed videos out of Wistia at first. It was all private, right? We built the analytics initially so that, big companies, which we didn't understand, could like track how their employees were watching things for training and compliance and stuff. So we get to about 30 customers, and our customers are saying to us, like, we love the interface. It's really, really easy. We want to embed the videos on our site and see how people are watching the videos on our site. We're like, that's a bad idea.
Video's private.
Yeah, video's private. That's how it works. And so we started sending embed codes to people via email. Okay, so you want embed code, we're like, fine, we won't build it into the product, we'll send it to you via email.
Mm-hmm.
Then one day, Jason Fried goes onto Twitter and he tweets, like, what kind of company in the year 2007 does not have their pricing on their website? And it's a link to like list.com/pricing.
Oh.
And it said our prices start at like $79. And we were just like, frack! You know, it's just like, oh my God, how is this happening? Yeah. And so, like, I'm trying to tweet back and forth, and we're all, like, trying to tweet with them. And he starts, like, direct messaging me. And he's like, actually, we're looking at using Wistia. I'm like, okay, like, this is amazing. This is a dream come true. Oh, my God, we're going to get 37 signals. So he signs up. He uploads the video. He's like, everything looks good. He's like, I can't figure out where to make an embed code.
And you're like, but video's private.
Yeah,
Jason.
No, we're like, okay, yeah, no, well, don't worry about
just,
that. We have this,
just like pricing.
It's like, it's a special service.
Bespoke embed codes that are handcrafted just for you.
So we send him an email with the embed code. And we didn't have the tracking working in embedded videos yet. So we're like, is it working? Is it working? He's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. And then he just like completely went dark on us. And we like never spoke to him again.
Mm.
That was embarrassing. That sucked. And it was also one of those things, actually, like we realized we were going to have to do that. And I think it was like 6 weeks later is when we switched over to having our prices on the site, having embed codes work, and actually letting people for the first time get a free trial. Because up until that point, you had to demo or call us. And so Jason Fried, like, emailed us, which was, like, a really big deal because, like, he had to, like, in order to create an account, he had to email a person, so.
But, I mean, it's like, we knew 37 Signals really well.
Right.
And really respected them. And then, and we're a tiny company, like, starving for attention. And the first attention we get by a tweet is something that just is, like, just destroying
these guys
us.
Are idiots.
Yeah, that's a guy with 50,000 followers. Yeah.
And like, we're like, wait, no.
Well, you know, you learn the lesson though, right? Like, it's you're
no,
better
I mean,
for it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's that was good, and I think it's also one of those things. Like, you know, now if someone's upset, at least they're telling you. Like, I think that's the thing we've learned. Like, a lot of the people who are our biggest champions were the most upset, and we just, you know, if you take responsibility for what you're screwing up and like talk to them about it, it's a lot easier to turn things around. And it's still true. And like, I think, I don't know, that's definitely like learned a lot of stuff from that. So it's good.
Do you guys have any specific like stretch goals the next couple of years in mind?
I mean, you know, we tend to think very long term. That's kind of partially because it's taken so long to get here. It's like, wow, it's taken 7 years. Like if you had told us before this, like it's going to take 7 years, you're going to be running out of money for most of that time until at the end when you're not. We'd be like, that sounds horrible. Like, don't want to do that. But being here, like looking at where we've gone, like it's honestly like time has flown by, mostly because I think like we've been fortunate enough to go slowly enough that we've like actually have built a culture where it's like fun to work. And there's lots of smart people in the room every day, like pushing you to be better. And I think like for that reason, when we look out, it's kind of, you know, if we're lucky enough to be able to do this in 10 years, then like imagine like the impact that we could have. And you know, the area that we play in, which is like helping people market with video on their website, which is definitely a different thing than like helping people get views on YouTube, is actually pretty young, and there's not a lot of companies like really being successful with video there. And so I mean, we just really want to help as many companies as we can like be successful in that way, because we've seen it work so well.
Yeah. And it still is crazy how early days it seems like for this market. I mean, you know, around, like, especially around here in Boston, like there's a lot of tech companies, everyone is like kind of savvy to video, but there are, you know, so many companies that still are like just getting online even. And it's just, I think video, I mean, we've obviously have been living and breathing this for so long, like video can be transformative for a business. Everyone will get there eventually. And in some ways it just is like, it's barely beginning, and that's so exciting. And it also feels like we're just getting started, which is cool.
Yeah. And you're amazingly positioned for this wave to really take off and be in a good spot for that.
Yeah. And I think it's like, I mean, it's like a podcast, like it takes a lot. There's real work here and like editing and like expertise and like equipment you need and all these things. Like, video is the same way. Like, you need to do like 20 things right to be successful with it. And if you do 15 of them, if you don't power through, like you might not see like success on the other side. And I think like when we think about where our product fits in those like 20 things, like maybe we solve like 7 of them today, and maybe our content solves like another 3 or 2. And so there's a lot of room that we see that we think that we can make it easier for people to be more successful, you know, and track the right things and make better content. And I think that's the most exciting thing. And also just like really, I mean, the stretch goals are like continue to have Wistia be like an awesome place to work, where like we would work in any position and would love to do it. I think like that would be amazing.
Well, guys, I really appreciate you spending the time and coming down to the office and saying hi.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
so if people want to get in touch with you guys, what's a good way to do that?
I'm C Savage on Twitter. You can email me at chris@wistia.com.
I'm Brendan on Twitter and brendan@wistia.com. Happy to field any emails.
If you'd like to access the show notes for this episode, you can go to thoughtbot.com/giantrobots/65. 65. Today's podcast was recorded and edited by Mike Manner and produced by Chad Pytel. Thanks for listening.